Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. The Bible tells us a lot of things, everything that we need to know to live successfully in this life and to please God and live eternally in the life to come. But it also leaves a few things out that I wish it wouldn't. For one thing, the Bible tells us that there will be a second coming of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, the Bible says, "And while they looked steadfastly," that is the 11, "toward heaven, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." In John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, you're familiar with these verses. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." We know absolutely for sure Jesus is coming again, but we don't know when. We spend a lot of time and energy and effort trying to figure that out, don't we? But the Bible tells us no one knows. The passage we're going to read this morning, verse 36, Matthew 24, says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Only God knows when the second coming of Jesus will be. I was thinking about that as I prepared this message this week. And I realize that there's something else the Bible tells us that will absolutely for sure happen, but it doesn't tell us when. We will all die. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." So we all know life is terminal. There's an end date to each and every one of our lives. But we don't know when that is. The Bible doesn't tell us when. As a matter of fact, again, the Bible tells us that we don't know, that we can't know. James 4:14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." We know we're going to die. We know life is short. If you live to be 100 years old or more, life is short. We just don't know when our moment of death will come. We don't know what tomorrow holds. I got to wondering about that. Why would the Bible be so clear on the second coming that it's going to happen and not tell us when? Why is the Bible so clear on each of our deaths? It's going to happen, but not tell us when. Surely God knew that we would want to know. I can't answer that question. I don't know why he didn't tell us. I have a suspicion, but I can't know for sure. But we do have the question, since we know Jesus is coming again, and since we know we're all going to die, but we don't know when either of those two things are going to happen, what should we do? How should we live in light of what we don't know? Matthew chapter 24 answers that question, I think, starting in verse 36. The Bible says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noe were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noe entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two shall be in the field, the one shall be left, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. First of all, the way we should live, not knowing what we know, the way we should live is to be present. I want you to look. I wish I could do this. I'm just going to tell you. This message is for me as much as it is anybody else. That's always the case, but sometimes I feel it a little more. Matthew chapter 24, verses 45 and 46. I want to read them again. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. We need to be present in this life. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus told the parable of the master of the house who left on a journey. Matter of fact, I think it says that he was going to receive a kingdom for himself, but he was going to return. And before he left, he brought in his 10 servants and gave them 10 talents. And then he said to them, "Occupy till I come." I think that's verse 13 of Luke chapter 19. He said, "Occupy till I come." And then when he came back, when he returned, he brought those 10 servants to him and he asked them to give an accounting of what they had done with their talent. So that when he told them, "Occupy until I come," he didn't mean go sit on the front pew and wait till I get back. He meant get busy doing the things that you're supposed to be doing until I come back. Because when I come back, an accounting will be required. We have work to do, folks. We have a job to do. We have ministry to do. Our purpose is to glorify God, and we need to get busy doing it. We need to be present in this life. I think we have a tendency to put things off, don't we? I hope I'm not the only one that has that tendency. We have a tendency. As a matter of fact, sometimes our favorite phrase is, "One of these days." One of these days, I am going to, and then we just fill in the blank. Whatever it is, maybe it's something that we just want to do. It's those bucket lists, you know, you've heard about the bucket list, those items, that you, all those things I want to do before I die. Listen, get busy. This is before we die. There's not another time before we die. This is it. We need to be present in this life. I think that applies to our physical life, as well as our spiritual life. Now, I'm always reminded of this. At every funeral service I do, I'm always reminded of this. You know, death always comes suddenly. I used to think that wasn't the case. You know, sometimes I've done the services for people who have been sick for months, or in some cases years and years and years. They have a terminal disease, and slowly it took their life away until finally their life ended. And you think, boy, death took a long time. No, it didn't. Death took that long. One instant they're breathing, and the next instant, they're not. Death is always sudden. Whatever we're going to do, we need to be doing it. I said that applies to our life on this earth. Listen, if you're gonna take that great trip or have that great adventure or go see that Grand Canyon or whatever it might be, go do it. Get busy. Life is short. And then for us spiritually, well, I tell you what, one of these days, I am going to get busy. I'm going to get really serious about serving the Lord one of these days. Now, not right now, Pastor. Don't get too excited. You know, right now I'm just a little too busy. We got kids to raise, and boy, kids take a lot of time. I kind of forgotten that, but I can vouch for that now. And as soon as the kids get grown, one of these days when the kids are grown, boy, I'm going to get busy serving the Lord. One of these days when I retire, you know, I'm going to have more time then, and I won't have to be worrying about paying the bills then, and I won't have to be worrying about the job then. And one of these days when I retire and I've got more time, boy, I'm going to be right down there volunteering at the church. One of these days. One of these days, as soon as I get a little more experience, As soon as I get a few things put behind me, as soon as I get the job situation all worked out, you know, one of these days, I'm going to teach that Sunday school class. Or at least try. One of these days, I'm going to witness to my neighbor. One of these days, I'm going to take that missions trip. I've been hearing about these folks that go on these short-term missions trips, and I think, boy, that'd be good. And one of these days, I'm going to do it. One of these days. And we come to our last day. And one of these days, we're going to do it. And we come to our last breath. Well, I meant to do that. I meant to do that. We need to be present. We know Jesus is coming, but we don't know when. We know we're all going to die, but we don't know when. So we need to be present in this life that we have right now and do whatever it is that we want to do and do whatever it is that God is calling us to do, and we need to be doing it right now. We wait until it's too late. So the first thing is be present in this life. The second thing is we need to be perceptive. Look at verse 42, again, Matthew 24. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. 1 Peter 4:7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Be watchful. Look around at the things that are happening around us in our lifetime, in our lives, in our world around us, and perceive, be perceptive and perceive what they mean. The Bible doesn't tell us when Jesus will return. As a matter of fact, again, the Bible tells us that only God knows, but the Bible does tell us the condition of the world when Jesus will come back. Look at verses 37 and 38 again in Matthew chapter 24. But as the days of Noah were, that's Noah, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. In the days of Noah before the flood came, people were just busy going about their lives. I used to read that phrase, they were eating and drinking, and I thought it meant they were always drunk. That's not what it meant. It just meant, listen, they were just busy about life. They were marrying. They were giving in marriage. They were going to work. They were punching the time clock. They were paying the bills. They were going to the lake on the weekends, whatever it was, playing golf. They were just busy with life, consumed with the things of life. They had no regard for God. God wasn't in their thoughts very much. Some of those people in Noah's day didn't even believe in God. And according to the scripture, not one person outside of Noah's family believed Noah's message that there was going to be a global flood and God was going to destroy the whole world with the flood. Nobody believed him. 120 years he preached that message. Can you imagine that? And not one convert. Not one person came up and said, no, I believe what you're preaching is the truth, and I'm going to help you build the ark, or I'm going to build my own ark. I'm going to get ready. Not one single person. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Well, look around, folks, and be perceptive. Aren't we pretty much like that today? Aren't people busy? Aren't we consumed, even as Christians, aren't we consumed with the things of this life? We're busy going, we're busy doing, we're busy being, whatever it might be. We're busy, we're consumed with the things of this life. In some cases, listen, there are a lot of folks that have no regard for God whatsoever. God is not in their thoughts. There are many, many people who don't even believe in God now. And listen, there are many, many people who do not believe that Jesus is coming again. They scoff at the notion. You know what all that means is Jesus could come anytime. Because if we're perceptive, we see that as it was in the days of Noah, so is it now in the days that we live. We also need to be perceptive about the activity And the deceitfulness of the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." We need to perceive what the devil is doing, and we need to be on our guard. Boy, how we have lost our sense of awareness, I guess would be the way we would say it, of Satan and his activities. We need to perceive what he's doing. The devil would like to lull Christians into a sense of spiritual sleepiness. You know, really, he'd like to convince us. And by the way, I think he's doing a pretty good job. He'd like to convince us that, listen, there's plenty of time to live a holy life. Don't worry about it today. Today, you've got other things to do. There's plenty of time to tell people about Jesus. You know, your neighbor is young. He's in his 40s. He's going to live a long time. There's plenty of time. Today, you've got other things that you need to do. Today, you need to mow the yard or change the oil in the car or work the extra hours at work or whatever it might be. Spend time with family. Good things. He lulls us, or at least he tries to lull us into a sense of spiritual apathy, spiritual sleepiness. Listen to what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 5, 6. "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch. Let us be aware and be sober." Romans 13, 11. "And that knowing that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." You do realize, I do realize, at least I hope, that every moment that passes, we're closer to the moment of either the second coming of Christ or our death. See, we're getting closer. Every moment we're getting closer. Nobody's standing still. Nobody's backing up. Everybody's moving forward. We're getting closer. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." The devil says there's plenty of time to live holy lives. There's plenty of time to tell people about Jesus. And the Bible says, "Awake to righteousness. Get busy now." There's people all over the world who have no knowledge of God. And the Bible says, "I speak this to your shame." He wasn't talking to the devil or the sinners. He was talking to the Christians. It's our job to tell people about Jesus. And when people don't know, we ought to be ashamed of that. We need a sense of urgency in our lives as Christians. Now is the time. We're closer to salvation. We're closer to the end than we've ever been before. And if we're going to live for the Lord, we need to do it now. We need to perceive that time is short. We need to perceive that life is short. And whatever we're going to do, we need to get busy and get started and get it done. Because time is short. We need a sense of urgency. Not sleepiness, but urgency. And finally, we need to be prepared. That's the obvious one, right? Matthew chapter 24, verses 43 and 44. "But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." We know Jesus is coming, so we need to be prepared. And may I tell you that the reason I think Jesus didn't tell us when he's coming or when he's going to die is because we wouldn't get prepared. If we knew, if you knew your expiration date, you'd put off everything that was necessary until that day. And you'd do all the things that were, I would, all the things that were unnecessary, all the fun, all the fluff, all the things that didn't matter. We'd do all of them all of our life, and when we come right down to the expiration date, then we'd try to do all that other stuff. Same thing is true with the second coming of Jesus. If we knew exactly when it was, we'd wait until the day before to do anything for God. Because we're selfish people. That's our nature. God created us, and He knows what we're like, and He knows we're selfish in the sense that we're worried about ourselves. We want our pleasure, our joy, our things, my time, my stuff. So if we knew when, we'd put all that God stuff off. God wants us to serve Him now. God wants us to love Him now. Listen, isn't it good to be a Christian? I'm telling you, don't you? When you look back at your life before you got saved and your life after you got saved, isn't life after better? So God knew that. And He knew if He told us when, we'd put all that good stuff off until right at the end. And then we'd all think, man, why didn't I do this sooner, right? So be prepared. The first way you get prepared if you're not a Christian is to get saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you are not a Christian, I hope you will get saved today, right now. Here we go again. One of these days, I want you to listen closely for just a minute. One of these days, you may not have the opportunity to be saved. See, we're not promised tomorrow. We say that, and we all know that in the back of our minds. But it's one of those things we put away. We don't think about it too much. But that's the truth. We're not promised tomorrow. 11 people went to the synagogue yesterday. 4 of them were policemen doing their job. They all planned for tomorrow. They all thought they'd be here today, but they're not. There's no promise of the next moment. Death is sudden, remember? One moment you're breathing and alive, and the next moment you're dead. You're here this morning, and if you're not a Christian, I believe the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you of your sin and drawing you to Him so that you can be forgiven and have eternal life and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But He doesn't promise that He'll draw you again. If you leave here and you don't get saved, if you're not a Christian and you leave here and you don't get saved, God may never deal with your soul again. You may intend to get saved, but you may not have that opportunity. You may live another 50 years and never have another opportunity to be saved. Oh, we think, oh, God is merciful and God is loving and God is kind, and I'll just wait until I'm about to die and God will forgive me. Maybe He won't. God is not obligated to wait on us all of our lives to forgive us of our sins. He already sent His Son to die for us. He already told us about Jesus Christ. You have already heard the message of the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ. You just heard it. He's not obligated to present that to you again. He is merciful. He is kind. He is loving. He is also holy. He is also righteous. He has also done everything that He needs to do and given you every opportunity that you need to be saved. Now is the day of salvation. Amen. And then as Christians, we need to be prepared by obeying God now. May all who come behind us find us faithful. Matthew chapter 24, verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Blessed is that Christian whom, when Jesus returns or we die, God finds us faithful and obedient to Him. Right now, are you being faithful and obedient to God? Right now, have you confessed your sins and received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Right now, are you ready to meet God? Would you stand with me this morning? Sheriff, you'll come and play a song of invitation.